Friends, this is tape number 9 of this album, this brand new album that we're making now in Panama City, in our sanctuary of prayer, or in our tape room. If you go back in the Bible, all the way back to Genesis, you'll find the message of the creation of God's people. You'll always find that God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. But there was war in heaven, and Satan said, I'll be like the Most High God, I'll send up the Most High. In other words, he was trying to take over God and sit upon his throne. That was a challenge that Satan put against God. We go back into this area of the time of the creation according to Genesis. We go beyond that to the time when God cast out these spirits out of heaven. Some people say, well, it must have been pre-Adamite. Some see this and some say that. But they have found bones going back for at least a million years. So where did these bones come from? These bones must have come from pre-Adamites. Who were the pre-Adamites? They were fallen spirits out of heaven, very clear, made flesh. Because they were cast out of heaven. When they were cast out of heaven, they came down to this earth and cast down, became flesh. It's very clear. The only way that could have happened. So God cast Satan out of heaven, this great battle of the times of the Satan's challenge against God. You've been challenging God ever since. But death came through Satan. Death came through the oblivion of Satan, came through the action of Satan. Death is a terrible thing. When you think of the life upon this earth, 70 years, or even, let's say, 20 more, that's a very, very short time, according to the millions or billions of years of eternity. Man upon this earth, just a short time. But he does think he's doing great things. For instance, physical systems set up during that lifetime, and then we go back to the origination of America, the Mayflower, and Indians before that, and the European countries of the world and all this kind of thing. The European countries, Africa's, and all that. In these different generations of the ages, we find men seeking life. Life beyond this world. They've done it for years, seeking life beyond the grave and so forth. And there has been record of those that have gone on to heaven. And also, but the real record that we do have of life beyond the grave is actually when Paul went to Damascus. Now, Paul was a real studious man. He was well educated in the law. In fact, when he got before Agrippa and Festus, Agrippa said, almost, Paul, you made me become a Christian. He was a very convincing man. Now, he is strictly opposed to Christianity altogether before he became a Christian. He was operating according to the law. His law was with him all the time. But when he went to Damascus to get the Christians and bring them back bound to Jerusalem, he met the voice from heaven. This is one of the great records we do have, that there is life and voices out of heaven. And the very voice was the voice of Jesus. Now remember, he was on the opposition side before that. He didn't believe in such a thing. He believed only in the law of the Pharisee. That's all. He didn't believe that anybody could speak out of heaven. But he met his surprise. Now, he was a very honest man. He was a person of great integrity as far as the law was concerned. And he thought he was working absolutely to the letter of the law. So he's on his way to get Christians because he was so opposed to them, to bring them back bound and bring them before the law and have them put to death for just for even being a Christian. But yet Paul, on his way to Damascus, met his challenge. Jesus saw what he was doing. He was there and he was struck down. And Jesus spoke in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard to kick against the pricks. He said, who is it, Lord? Who is this talk? He says, Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. That convinced Paul. Here was a voice, an actual living voice, coming out of the great heaven, eternal heaven. So it convinced Paul. Now that was a record that there is life after death right there. The life eternal, the life. Life. Jesus said he was going to go, but Jesus went down into the bowels of the earth and he preached to the spirits in prison. Now, all these souls that have gone on into the oblivion, into the world of death, into the world of torment, and the world of prison house of death, Jesus went down to that prison house of death, preached to the spirits in prison, brought them out, and took them into paradise. Now, he didn't leave them anywhere scattered on this earth. He took them, and it was told to me by Jesus, and put them in outer perimeter of heaven. Now, heaven is 80 times larger than this earth. Heaven's a great place, very, very large. So then, but the inward heaven, the inward gate is where God is and all of those creations of the heavens. But in this outer perimeter area all the way, now just imagine how big that is. 2 million miles around heaven, here's a perimeter there, full of souls all the way out. That is the souls of those that were there before the creation of man, on through after the creation, the living souls of these beings who did not fall actually before God, but the death of those who didn't. That's exactly where they come from. Jesus told me so. So there they are. So these souls are there for a purpose, to wait to go before God into the judgment of their lives. Exactly. Now let's look back at death. Now death is a terrible thing when you think of it. You live on this earth, let's say, 80 years, and then you do this, you preach some people, build buildings, they were building and all that, and all at once here comes death, and you're plunged into oblivion, right there, plunged into oblivion. And the person that has no hope looks into that oblivion as death and darkness forever and ever and ever. Darkness forever. But Jesus came upon this earth to make it different. He came upon this earth that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, the records of after death are very, 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 very few. Many of them say they could get in touch with their uncles through a type of spirit and all this kind of thing. Don't believe in that. That's not so. But there is also a connection between the living and the dead. The connection between the living and the dead is that love and joy and peace of happiness. Now, they are put into paradise there, and we're going ready to meet them. Now, the only record we have is the record of Jesus himself and the record of those that have really and truly come forth in visions. Now, visions are a great reality. People that dreamed about their mothers and their fathers and all this. That is God, and it says, your old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions, upon my handmaids and pour out my spirit to prophesy all that. That is definitely a spiritual life within the body and the life of the human. And that is inside is what the soul. Now, the soul of man is an actual person who looks just like you. We're made of a body, soul, and spirit. There we are. Now, here we are upon this earth, and within us dwells a soul. So then, as man begins to walk this earth, he looks towards heaven to an everlasting life. The more he believes, the more he attains that faith and in touch with eternity. I've been in touch with eternity. You could be in touch with eternity. And by seeking God by faith, but you're going to come up to the time when it's time to go, that death happens and controls you. Now, how about it, man, believing that there is a heaven? Just believing there is life after death. And as you believe it happens to you, reveals the reality to you, there's life after heaven. Now, back in Isaiah, in the 61st chapter, we speak about the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what is the Spirit of the Lord? We are made up of body, soul, and spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is that spirit within man that makes you believe there's life after another with the spirit moving. You can't move in the flesh. You're dead. You try to dance in the flesh and do all, just as dead as no. But here comes the Spirit of God coming to you to reveal you that in you there is life after death. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and comfort them that mourn. Now, this is the Spirit of God moving upon Jesus, upon you. Man is made of a spirit, so then the only connection he has is through the Spirit, and by the Spirit with him, to a spiritual God, because God is spirit. Now, if God's spirit, therefore, his spirit moves from heaven, Seven spirits of God all moving now upon the earth, conviction, so on. We go through that. But the Spirit of God is poured out upon this earth to reveal God to you into your life individually. You go to an altar and you pray and you want to get saved. So then something happens. Something takes place. You're dead, I mean you're not alive, and something all at once you feel the Spirit moving in you. That's eternal life. That's life coming to you, so you feel that eternal life. You feel that Spirit coming to you, and all at once you feel something going through your soul, something begins to move in your stomach, something begins to move in you, something begins to move within you, and you feel there's a Spirit coming upon your body. That's God's reveal himself to man. And God has a way of revealing it to a man individually. So then God is a Spirit. So then in this action of Spirit moving upon the earth, the Spirit of God moves in man and connects with the power of the Holy Ghost in heaven to take you into the resurrection. Now let's turn over into Revelation again, over into Revelation. We're going to go to that real familiar scripture, 23rd chapter. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, the first heaven passed away. So, and I, John, saw the holy city coming down from heaven. He goes and heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be them and be their God. Now, here is the reality of God revealing himself to man, in a way of power. Now, back in Acts 2:4, they went to the upper room, and God. They began to pray, and the message of God came upon them, and here's the Spirit again. They began to speak in other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Here was the spiritual power, not something dead and dormant upon this earth, but a Spirit of God coming in man. So this is what man goes on, is the revelation of Spirit of God within him. So God is a Spirit, Now, in Thessalonians, it very clearly teaches the death, dead in Christ shall rise first. The Spirit of God moving upon them, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Feeling the Spirit, as it were, and then they begin to come out of their graves and sail off to heaven, along with which we remain God. But here is the moving of them, the Spirit and the power of God in the resurrection, bringing them out of the grave, and the Spirit, the power, and this is the body coming. Now, this is all the gospel. This is all the teaching of God. This is the teaching of the Lord, how it would all happen. So then we have people in the Bible who's had out-of-body experiences, what you call something inside, out-of-body experiences. In other words, so wonderfully endowed with the Spirit of God, they feel something beyond this earth. And that's the revelation of God in you, revealing to you there is eternal life. It's a revelation. No man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. There you are. So in order to know that Jesus is a reality, you have the Spirit. So heaven is a spiritual place. God is a Spirit, and you move in heaven by and through the Spirit. All down heaven, all up and around heaven, through and by the Spirit of God. Now, how does the Spirit of God operate in heaven? God controls the Spirit. He is the controller of the activities of heaven. God is a Spirit, so he controls all of heaven by and through his Spirit. Now, Jesus came down, became flesh, therefore he's Son of Man and Son of God. So he's the first Jesus, the first representative of flesh that we have outside of all those back with no real record of after they got there what happened. But Jesus, in his reality, came in, walked this earth in the flesh. He walked in the flesh. In other words, like he was a part of the flesh. He had dual personality. He had the personality of both man and God. He could be upon this earth, and by that he'd taken the form of man. He was able to understand man, his sickness, his sorrows, his tears, and all these things of man. So he became a man, so he can understand man. He became a man, so he can understand the ways of man. He became man, so he can understand the pitfalls of man, and the heartaches of man, and the sorrows of man. And that's how he became acquainted with man. He walked with man and became acquainted with man. But he was from heaven. Jesus was from heaven is where he was from. On the spiritual side. So then he said, he was talking to his father, so and he was going to leave, you could kill me and all these kind of things, 3 days I'm going to get up and all that. But he actually did that. And he conquered death and conquered in the prison house of death. Conquered death, and his body went. And Jesus went with his body and completely sailed up in this earth, 2 trillion miles, sat on the right hand of his Father, God the Father. Now, that's where he's sitting. He can be all over heaven at one time, but still sitting on the throne, on the high right hand of the throne. It was a miraculous reality to talk to Jesus down before the altar and City Four Square and all these places. But yet, there he was on the throne. His body was on the throne. That resurrected body that came out of the grave, I'm talking about the body of Jesus, with the marks in his hands, the marks in his feet, gash in his side, and the places where the crown had pricked in his body. There his body was resurrected, the body of Jesus was resurrected, and went and sit at the right hand of God the Father. Now the same thing will happen to us. Our body will be resurrected from out of the grave, and this is when we'll walk in heaven in the body. But there Jesus sits. I watched him sitting on the right hand of God the Father, so precious, so real. There he was sitting. When I went up before the Father with Jesus, there he was on the throne with his Father, but yet talking to me as I was up there in the Spirit. So Jesus talks to us in the Spirit, in the Spirit of God. He speaks through the Spirit, because he is able to be everywhere at one time. Now, when in heaven, as I saw Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, do you remember in the Bible days, behind the women, when he was looking for Jesus, and there he was, standing right behind them, just with them? You can see him on the throne, and yet he can walk with you in heaven. And that's his Spirit. That's his Spirit walking with you. For God is his Spirit. That's the spiritual Jesus. That's the one of his dual reality, the flesh and the Spirit. That was the part that was in him upon this earth when he did these great and mighty things upon this earth. Because he said, I and my Father one. God is a Spirit. So the Spirit of God the Father was on this earth in Jesus, walking in Jesus. Now in heaven, as you see Jesus on the throne, the Spirit of God controls everything in heaven. Every movement, every little thing that happens is controlled by and through the Spirit of God. It's a power of God so powerful, causes heaven to move. Causes heaven to move through and by the Spirit of God. How does this happen? Now, heaven is not just a place you go up there and sit in a corner, in other words, and just... It's a powerful place, a real powerful place. So then in heaven, you're walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit in heaven. My soul was walking in the Spirit in heaven. So then you're among all kinds of spiritual beings. As the devil is cast out in the Satan, but you go into heaven and walk in the Spirit among spiritual beings. Your soul, among spiritual, among the heavenly, in heavenly places, among spiritual beings, among reality. So then, as you walk in heaven, no matter what part it is, you're not walking in the flesh, you're walking in the Spirit. So heaven is a place where you're selected to walk in the Spirit. So now we're going to walk in the Spirit in heaven for a while. You see, my soul left my body, and I went into heaven. It was not the flesh, but I was living in Beulah land. I was living in heaven. I was living in the Spirit, just like John was on Patmos in the Lord's Day. I was walking in the Spirit for 5.5 days with Jesus in heaven, walking in the Spirit. Did you ever feel any Spirit upon this earth in your Christian life, felt you were separating your body and yourself from all the realities of this earth? Well, that's exactly the way it is. I separated myself when I left from all the spiritual realities of this earth. Otherwise, when I was in this almost seven years of spiritual prayer, praying, O God, let me see thy glory, and I begin to obtain the real, precious Spirit of God. I please God. I begin to attain God in my life, and in such a reality that God began to control my life. Now, I went through that experience for almost 7.5 years, and the last 2 years was such an experience that it happens to me now sometimes that I walk, and sometimes the Spirit of God takes over me, and I almost walk in a trance. I almost walk in such a way that I walk such a way where I'm walking in the Spirit. Now, during this 7 years, last 2 years, I begin to obtain such a connection with heaven. Walking with nothing bothers me. I was walking in the Spirit. People sometimes be talking to me, and I wouldn't listen. I was thinking about God. They couldn't understand. You know, it's hard for one person to understand another person's Christian life. That's very hard. You might look at them from the outside. You might look at them and say, well, he's doing this or he's doing that, and form what is called a man's judgment upon another person. Now, man's judgment sometimes is very cruel at trying to judge another person. They judge people according to what they do themselves. They judge people according to their own life, of their action, what they're doing. They judge people as to their natural life. And they think they're judging the Spirit, but they're not. They're making a natural judgment. A natural judgment is so obsolete, it's just not even works with God's Spirit. And they don't understand. So you walk in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a voice. Then a person could be walking in the Spirit, and somebody be judging them in the flesh, and all the time they're so far away from the Spirit of God, judge them in the flesh, while that person's walking in the Spirit. So they're completely walking in the Spirit, and they're trying to judge them in the flesh, and that's one of the most ungodly, satanic judgments that a person could do, because they're resorting to the flesh and the judgment of their self, judgment of the power of the flesh. You cannot judge a Christian, Holy Ghost, spiritual Christian, by and through the flesh in order to find out what they're doing. You must be in the Spirit yourselves in order to understand how they're walking in the Spirit. So I was walking in the Spirit during this time, and then I obtained the ultimate. By doing that, God let me come into His spiritual heaven to walk with spiritual people, to walk with spiritual people in heaven. So then as the Spirit operates in heaven from God the Father, I was floating around heaven, in other words. I was in such joy and peace and happiness. I was beyond the thinking of the things of this world. I was feeling light. There was nothing heavy about my soul in heaven. I was feeling such a lightness and such a reality of joy. Absolutely, without a question, nothing holding me down. Nothing against my visit in heaven, nothing against, but just walking and joyfully and floating joyfully and sailing around heaven joyfully in the Spirit. Now, it's hard for people to understand what a heavenly visit is. A heavenly visit is wonderful. And there was Enoch and these men of God of old in their body. They were there in the body. So they were walking in the way that we will when we're in the resurrection of the glory of God. There was Elijah in his body. He was walking in his body there in heaven. His body's gone too. And to have your soul there in heaven, walking in the Spirit, it's wonderful enough. But you wait till the body goes up too, and the body becomes full of knowledge and wisdom and joy and peace, begins to walk with God. Walk with God in heaven. Walk with Him. Now, heaven is so gigantic and so big, you can't begin to understand. The human mind cannot comprehend it. Now, this world is very much smaller than heaven. Very, very much smaller. So then you can imagine all the different parts of heaven. I want to try to make you understand. Let's look at this earth, from here to China, Russia, and all these places. That's gigantic to all corner of our mind. But look at something 80 times bigger, and 80 times larger, and 80 times more space, 80 times more miles, 80 times more. Now just begin to think of something 80 times bigger. So here you are in this gigantic area in heaven. Here you are, for instance, in way up in the northern part of Canada, way down the other South America, and not even touching. This is has to be your thinking about heaven. The joy, the gigantic joy of it, and the gigantic bigness of it, is exactly how big it is. So as we saw the bells ringing. Now, try to think of bells. A couple of thousand miles of bells or more hanging above God's throne in heaven. Looking up there, cluster after cluster after cluster after cluster of bells. All hanging all over the place. Above the throne, above all up there, there are these... beautiful, gigantic bells. When I was a boy, I used to hear the bells ring in the church. They'd play Christmas carols, all kinds of stuff in there. And there was. But can you think of a million bells? Try to think of a million bells. Beautiful bells, a million of them. All hanging in above the throne of God up there, and nothing to hold them but only God's hand. Just hold them there. And they begin to ring. And if you hear those bells ring once, just once, you'd never be the same. Because these bells ring. And they ring for one purpose, because souls, these souls that fought with the demon powers of the devil, who's God, they've come away from the devil and come to God and serve God. That's why God rings the bells, and they are the bells of victory, because Satan has been conquered, and he's lost some of his followers. He's lost his followers, and there's a victory bell ringing as these bells begin to ring at what God is doing. Friends, get ready for heaven. As it comes to the end, first half an hour of this tape, number 9. Oh God, please move upon them with the power of God and give them joy. Repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, speak peace to my soul and give me joy that I may go to heaven and I may be ready to be in the rapture. Ask it all in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Half of tape number 9. You know, there's going to be a coming of the Lord. And when Jesus comes, he's going to come very fast. He's not going to be slow about doing it. When he comes, he's going to come. He's going to come. And there's what he said in the 11th verse of the 3rd chapter of Revelation. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You got to be very solid with your own Christian life and know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven. So what does it take? Him that overcometh will I make pillar. Him that overcometh will I make pillar. Pillar, a pillar in the temple of our God, or my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write unto him a new name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him a new name. I would like to say that this, to me, before I went to heaven, was almost an enigma. So I read the middle of Revelation and shut it up. I couldn't understand it. To me, it was almost confusion. But then when I got into heaven with God, with Jesus, I began to realize the coming of the Lord will be very fast when it does happen. And there is those coming in who have an overcoming life upon this earth. What I mean by an overcoming life means that they'd obtained a place where they could have power over the devil. It's not only these churches of Revelation, but to have an overcoming life means that you can conquer the devil. You can put him in his place. I think I told this before, but I'll tell it again. Walking through those jungle trails, and that's not an easy place to walk. We had a man said he'd go with us, and he fell out on the wayside. I'm not going to go into that. It's a hard, tough trip through the jungles because the Indians know how to do it. Just on this fashion, you come to a stream or a small river, you chop down a long tree and let it lay across the river, and then you walk it. That's not what you'd call an easy walk or an easy life deep in the jungles. Some of the jungles are not even penetrated yet. But in this life of this type of missionary, you overcome the power of the devil. Because he's going to cause you to fall in among the alligators if you don't watch out. Coming along one of those trails one day, and I looked, and it was just about, it gets dark, around 6 o'clock at night, same way, because you're right close to the equator, the same way all year round. Here was this being coming, walking through the jungle trails. I was there, but he was kind of to the left of me. And he was coming along there, just at dusk. And he was quite big, and I kind of looked at him, looked as if it were into his face. But there he was, a spiritual being. But he was the devil, Satan, coming along the jungle. Nobody around but me. Now, I want to tell you, you have that experience. That's a funny feeling. If you didn't have God with you, to be right there in the middle of the dark jungles, and here comes the devil walking, of all things. Now, that's what I call a supreme test of your life. Some people saw the devil said this to me, and the devil says, be careful what you say, because the devil's something. And here he was. I was at least about, I'd say about 20 feet from that old fella, be coming at me. And I mean, he was coming to do something, because he was taking up the whole trail. I looked and I said, you're the devil. Lay down in Jesus' name. And here was this power. Now, this is one that had fought God in heaven. This is the fella that had a battle with God himself. He had a battle with God himself. Now, think of the power that old Slewfoot had, to have power enough to fight God. Now, that is what you call power. But Jesus conquered that, and at the name of Jesus, he had to go down. When he went down, there he was in the jungle trail, down, down, laying down. I said, lay down, so he laid down. Now, he's like a man, and there he was laying kind of on his side, and with his elbow propping up his face. When I looked at him, he fell flat on his face down there in the ground. My feet was pretty close to his head. Now, his head was laying down. Now, the devil's head was laying down the jungle trail, laying down at my feet. And I got up on top of his body, just in the back of it, and began to walk on his body. When I did, he didn't do anything but lay there. He didn't fight me. He just lay there because he had laid down, because I said, lay down in Jesus' name. Lay down. Now, that's the devil. Now, remember, it was getting dark, and there was only the devil and me. I had about another 2 miles, 2 kilometers to make it into camp. And there was that. Now, I want you to realize what it is to be in the jungles and only one around the devil. Just only, no other Indians, no other Christian, no other anybody, but just the devil. Now, after I left that place, I didn't look back, because to look back, very dangerous, because then you'd give it. But all the way in, I was saying, devil, stay behind me. Don't you get ahead of me, devil. And you know, I was repeating the words of Jesus, where he said, Satan, get behind me. I said, Satan, get, stay behind me. I didn't say, I said, stay behind me, devil. And I was walking ahead that last 2 kilometers into camp. I came into camp where the Indians were. And they welcomed me in so wonderful. I said, the devil followed me down the trails. Them, and they said, yeah. Said, there he is looking at us. Still looking at us. And that night we says, devil, get out here and stay away from here and get away out of these jungles and go. And he left. We never saw the devil in the jungles anymore after that. But that was power over the devil. And Jesus gives us power through the Spirit over the evil spirits. Now, if you can have power of the devil, you would certainly have power over the evil spirits. That's the life of the overcomer. To overcome the power of the devil. Now, he's going to do everything he can against you to try to have you follow him and do dirt. And when he does, he'll do you dirty. He'll never, ever be clean cut with you. He'll have some personal idea that he wants for himself, because he has motive. He has a motive to do it, because he's got something he wants to do in his own way, in his own life. That's not having what you would call love for the other man, that he may have freedom to go ahead and do what he's doing. That's the power of the devil. So with that power over the devil, I begin to have such victory walking in through the jungles. He didn't bother me anymore. But I won't tell you, that devil can jump in a leopard and all kinds of things and cause death, destruction. And he is such a devil that he can have power. And he could look real pretty, and then he can look real ugly. He can make his nose swell. He can make his left eye come down ugly. And he can really make himself look ugly, and next second he can look pretty. He can able change himself. He can change his countenance. He can change his face into many different forms and ways. He can come with eyes of all kinds of eyes, all kinds of ways. You can fix his hair right in front of you. He can really transform himself into an ugly devil, but he can also come as an angel of light. But he's not an angel of light. Jesus is an angel of light. So then, he that overcometh over that devil has the victory for heaven. And this is exactly what it is with God and with Jesus. He gives us victory over all our enemies even. All of our enemies. So then we can walk with power. We don't have to be mad at them and say, I've got power in this earth. It makes you lowly, lovable, and peaceful. It does something to you to make you so lovable within your heart and so peaceful in your heart. And it makes you extend out to even love your enemies. That's what it's all about. Loving your enemies, those who despitefully use you, say evil things about you, and those that would pass remarks of evilness against you. But it'll make you love them. And the love of God is greater than all of that, because you live above that kind of thing, and you live in glory. You live in glory with Jesus and happy. I'm a happy man. I may talk strict sometimes to some people. That's all right. That's godliness. But I want to say I'm one of the happiest men that ever walked upon this earth. Given my testimony in my life, nothing worries me. Plain, nothing worries me. I walk above condemnation. I walk above the things of this. I walk above the things this earth has for me. And I walk above in a spiritual world with Jesus. That's where I walk. I walk completely above the condemnation of this world and all the cares of this world. Of course, I do things and direct things. But I walk above, and I'm walking in the Spirit. Truthfully, friends, I'm walking in the Spirit with Jesus on this earth. To learn to walk with Him. Nothing of the earthly things. I go along to do things. But I, nothing of these things. When I pick up a paper, I may leave the headlines, put it down. Maybe a little bit of television, not to get my nose in the news and get absorbed with the news of the day. It just doesn't. That is not my life. I don't go hunting. I don't go fishing. I don't do these things. Because why? Because I have joy with Jesus. I don't need to. I don't need to do any earthly activity whatsoever, but just stay with Jesus in the Spirit. It's a wonderful life. Stay in the Spirit with Jesus. I don't care about... I'm going up to Detroit pretty soon. They said, we'll have a car for you, take a show of the sights. What in the world would I want to look at the sights of Detroit for when I've seen the sights of heaven? That's what I'm trying to say. The sights of heaven, the beauty of heaven is so beautiful. And I'm walking in the Spirit with God. And in my mind, when I get out of bed, my mind immediately turns toward heaven and God, the things I've seen in heaven with God. I turn heaven. Although I see the things upon this earth that look nice, and if we fix nice and fix these things nice, that's all right. But above that, there is a mind, a joy working in it. Always in the background, always in my mind, every minute of the joy of heaven. Always working in my mind. Always. So there in a second, I can switch my thoughts toward heaven and be full of joy and peace of heaven. I get some wonderful experiences. The power of the eyes of Jesus sometimes penetrates in my room at night. Sometimes the joy of heaven completely comes into my life and speaks to me the glories and the realities of God. Now, let's go into heaven a while with Jesus. When you walk in heaven with Jesus, it is complete joy. And if you can understand what joy is, do you ever get joyful? Oh, joyful means to be happy, means to be not possessed with anything against what you're thinking, but with joy. wonderful joy. In other words, your stomach bounces within you, and you have joy. Joy of what's happening. And that's what heaven is, the joy of heaven. So then in heaven, when it's music time, now this vastness of heaven, the greatness, 80 times larger than the earth, and the great and the vastness of it, you can take it all in China, all of this earth cities all over, and everything, and 80 times bigger than that, all in one sec, all over God's heaven. And it's so gigantic that you looked one way, mountains, an endless amount of mountains. And you look the other way, an endless amount of valleys. And you look the other way, an endless amount of all kinds of mansions in the distance. You can look at another way, and all the great glories of the valleys, full of beauty. You've got 80 times larger than the earth to do all that in. You look the other way, and here is some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scenery of colors. Scenery of color so beautiful. And you look over there, and there's the joy of heaven is so great. The rainbows and all of the glories of heaven as you look the different places. And you look, and then you look to the outer perimeter, as it were. You can't look clear out there at all. But there is all the glories of the different levels of heaven. And all so beautiful. The first heaven. The second heaven, so beautiful, all arranged around the glorious throne of God. Millions of beautiful trees, millions of beautiful flowers, millions of beautiful things, reality. This is heaven. With all this great vastness of this joy, you can yet going to go there in the new heaven where Jesus has put all of this for us to go to. And then you've got rocks in heaven, rocks. And these great rocks in heaven, tremendous rocks in heaven, so beautiful. All kinds of granites and all kinds of cuttings in the rock. And then in the middle of that is Jesus in the rocks, right in the rocks. There he is. You look at him, and then you look there, he's right in the middle of the rocks. Because he is the rock. He is the rock, and it represents the solidness and the stands of Jesus. It's amazing to me when I looked upon these different color rocks. Blue. Every color of the rainbow in these rocks, just millions of them stacked together so gigantic. I've been in Utah and seen that, all those valleys there, the rocks. Gigantic rocks caused from different formations such as volcanoes and so forth, coming down pouring. But here is this giganticness of heaven, of these rocks. Glorious rocks, precious rocks. And right in the middle is Jesus. Right in the middle is Jesus. Can you imagine of such a scenery as that? The song says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And there's Jesus in the rock. He's the rock. He's the light of the world. And he's the rock of our salvation. And that, it looks in such a solid way. Such solidness. You look upon the different buildings of the earth and they're wobbly. What I mean is they can break to pieces. Even the steel can break apart. But not that rocks that God made for Jesus to sit amongst. So this is a part of heaven I'm telling you about. There's Jesus in the midst of these rocks. And there he is in your salvation that you have. You may wobble here and wobble there. And you may just be drawn about with something leading you to look at it. There's something causing your attention. Something taking your mind away from Jesus. Just think of him as the rock. Where you can get on that rock with him and be with him until he comes. On the rock, on the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The person who wrote that must have known something about Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about a little bunch of rocks a mile across. I'm talking about 10,000 miles of rocks. So beautiful looking at them. And from the different visions, the different ways of looking at that, there's this great cluster of rocks and Jesus in the middle of it, unmovable. Unmovable Christ, unmovable Jesus, unmovable one, made solid with his Father. There have been all kinds winds of doctrines. But you get with Jesus when you go to the altar and you pray, and then you feel something happen to you when Jesus comes in your heart. He comes in your heart with such reality and such solidness. He comes into your heart, and you feel Him come in. That's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's Jesus when you get saved. That's Jesus when you make your decision. That's Jesus when you make your decision. I give my life to Jesus. And when you give, now I'm talking about heaven, showing Jesus as the rock. Showing Him as the real rock, not just a bunch of stones put together. And man, boy, that could blow down. I'm talking about not just, well, a rock church, a good name. I never didn't think of that just now because I wasn't even thinking about that. Got all kinds. But then, the rock church. But I want to tell you, that's a pretty good name. But when you think of millions and millions of tons of rock, there right in it, the rock, Jesus in the midst of it, giving His blessing to those who are on the rock. Jesus out of the midst of those great rocks with His hands. It's something to see. Now, He's on the throne of God, on the right hand of God. You remember that? He's there. But here He is in the middle of the rocks with His arms wide open and His head down. And He's saying, come on to Me. He's saying, come on to Me, all ye that are weary and heaven laden, and I'll give you rest. There's no other rest but in Jesus. And He's in heaven in the midst of the rock. Come unto Me, all you weary and heaven laden, all you with your heartaches and troubles, all of you there with your heartaches that's having family trouble, all of you that have not had the joy of peace to overcome the devil and all his business. There you are. You're heavy laden. You're burdened down with the sorrows of this world. You're burdened down with finances. You're burdened down with all kinds of things that's coming at you and that coming at you. You're burdened. You're burdened, friend, with the burdens of this world. You've made the worldly things a yoke on your life. You let them take you over, let them try to carry the burden, and you're heavy laden. It's about all you can do. There's something about it that you can't make it. Something about you having financial trouble and all this. But you see, you're not on the solid place. You're in a slippery place. You're slipping in the sand. You're floating away from Jesus. You're not in that place where you could really and truly know that Jesus is real. But then look towards Him. As I was looking towards Him sitting in the rocks, you could just see His eyes so beautiful and His arms outstretched for the world, for those who want to come. And come on all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto Me, all you ones that are on dope. Ones of you that are taking hashes, one of you that are shooting all these different drugs in you, give it up. Come to Jesus. Because He's there waiting for you. He's there sitting in the rocks waiting for you to come to Him. Climb on that rock. Climb out of the despair. Climb out and start climbing over one of those rocks. It is there. Just climb out of the sin and affliction. Start climbing. Start climbing towards Jesus. Start pulling yourself out of the valley and the trouble and start climbing to Jesus because He's there. He's Jesus in the rock of our salvation, the rock of joy, the rock of our salvation. And that's the most spectacular sights in heaven, to see that great big miles of rocks and Jesus in the middle. He's something. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, portraying Himself to give you rest, to give you joy, and to give you relief from your troubles, to give you relief from all the trouble within your heart and soul, to give you that relief of all that trouble, because He's ready. I saw Jesus in heaven on the rock. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I want to get out of this life of all this dope and all this trouble I'm having. I want to get out of it. I want to get out of this prison. I want to get out of it, Jesus. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of it. Pray this prayer. Say it. I've had enough of it, Jesus. I've just had enough of it. And I want to get out of it. And I want to climb over one of those rocks and reach Jesus. It's simple. It's simple. It's not hard. He understands you. He knows you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're doing now. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows the heartaches in your home and your trouble and your children and your friends. Just get your little brood and kneel down with him. Say, Jesus, I'm going to give my heart to you. I'm going to end it all, this old world's nasty things. I'm going to end all this old trouble in this world. And I'm going to come to Jesus and I'm going to change my life completely. I'm coming to him. Say it, I'm coming to him. I've had enough of this old world. I've had enough of this life. I've had enough of this foolishness. I've just had enough of it. And I'm going to turn my life and I'm coming to Jesus. I'm going to come to him. I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Jesus, speak peace to them. Oh God, have you seen what's in heaven? Father, touch their hearts toward heaven. Speak peace to them, O God. Give them joy. Give them healing. Touch their bodies, Lord, and give them joy and peace. Touch them for healing, God. Give them that peace that only God can give. Only God can give. Give them that joy of the sweetness of the love of Jesus who shed his blood upon Calvary and absolutely conquered death and went to heaven, sat at the right hand of his Father, God, and portraying all that he is, the Lamb that was shed, and portraying that he's the Christ on the rock, portraying what he is in the fullness of the Spirit in heaven, because he's there. Come on to him, my friend, and you'll have joy. Come on to Jesus. Do it now. Do it now without faith. Father, touch them. Bring them in. God love you. God be with you. God bless you. Father, touch the hearts of these little children out there. Touch the hearts of the mother and father. Touch the hearts of those that are out there, Lord, in despair and in trouble. Speak to them, O God, they might go to heaven. They might spend their life with Jesus in heaven in eternity from this world's troubles and sorrows and tears. Take it away, them, Father, and give them joy. Give them peace. Give them happiness. I want to read that address again once more to you. God's Bible Tapes. Post Office Box 16297. Post P.O. B.O.X. Box 16297. Panama, P.A.N.A.M.A. This being translated in the foreign language, you'll get it too. Panama City, Florida, F-L-O-R-I-D-A, Florida. God's Bible Tapes, Post Office Box 16297, Panama City, Florida, 32406. Write a letter to us, building, we'll help you. Give to God, and you cannot outgive God. May God bless you is my prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and tender mercy. We thank you for the joy of doing this for you, Father. Bless this ministry. Bless these people. Bless those that come to Jesus. Bless them, O God. Give them joy and peace. We ask it all in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.